Now I pass to Elaine Stockman.
Amen. It's good to be back here this evening in the house of God. Good to see all of you here. Good to have visitors with us. I'm thankful the Lord's given us the opportunity to come back and be in the house of God this evening. Normally we are going through the book of Mark, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, but I knew tonight was going to be missing quite a few people, so we're going to go a different angle tonight instead of the book of Mark. That way they will be staying with us. Be in prayer for those that are away and they're out with family, friends, those that are sick, those that are traveling, that the Lord would keep them safe and let them have an enjoyable time together. Matthew chapter 2, if you would. Matthew chapter 2. Good to have Brother Hayes and his family visiting all the way from Oklahoma. Sure, the grandmother's nice. Glad to have them home this season. Always good to see those grandkids. We'd have known it'd been this good to have grandkids, would have had them first. We enjoy ours. We really do. They are a blessing. Matthew chapter number 2. We're going to talk about the wise men who didn't see the Savior. The wise men who didn't see the Savior. The Bible says in chapter 2, verse number 1, the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verse number 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Verse 5, and they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. When you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." Verse 9. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the stars which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. We will spend most of our time tonight talking about verses 5 and verse 6. The Bible says again in verse 5 and verse 6, "And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, and shall rule my people Israel." Now, all of us are very familiar with the wise men from the east, as it started out there in verse number 1. There came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. There's great debate over how many and who was and all this and that and other. All I know is there were 3 gifts. How many brought the gifts? If it was 2, 4, 6, I'm not going to argue with that. I do know they brought frankincense, gold, and myrrh there. And then we're very familiar with them. Those are part of the Christmas story, bringing their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, going first to Jerusalem. and then talking to King Herod, all the Christmas stories bring about this here point of biblical truth. So we know that these wise men exist, and they're very familiar to us. But we're going to talk about another group of wise men who did not go and see the Savior. If you would, there in verse number 4. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. These were the wise men of Herod. These were the counselors of Herod. These were the ones that Herod looked to for wisdom. These were the ones that were looking to, prosper the kingdom of Herod and Jerusalem and the nation of Israel. And they were the ones on this council of King Herod. He called them and called them to hand. So they were appointed wise men, of course. The Bible does not call them wise men, but we know because Herod called them, seeking wisdom from them, seeking guidance, that we would understand them to be Herod's wise men. There's a difference between godly wisdom and earthly wisdom. And we're seeing this here. In this portion of the passage of Scripture, you have these wise men that travel from the east, from all the way to Jerusalem, and got there to Herod's place, the palace, and made themselves known who they were, what they were looking for. These were seeking and following a star that was given by God, and they were seeking God's wisdom and seeking the light of the star there. But these others here were seeking their own gain. These other wise men here were seeking their own exaltation and not really looking out for the things of God. Now, how do we know this? Because they knew the very location. They knew the location, but did not believe that the Lord had come yet. What did this say there in verse number 5? And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets. They even went to the Bible. These wise men, they went to the Bible when they were looking. They knew the location. Dear friend, they missed the incarnation of Christ. Listen, these very same people here, the scribes and the Pharisees, would become a thorn in the flesh of Christ Jesus throughout the gospel. Every time it turned around, the Sadducees, the Scribes, these people would show up, make accusation, bring about some accusation out of the Bible. Isn't it amazing? Out of the Bible. Bring an accusation before the Lord Jesus Christ, and about washing of hands, about should you work on the Sabbath, about should you heal on the Sabbath, and so forth and so on, and just back and forth. These same wise men who offered counsel to Herod knew the very location of where the ruler would be born. They doubted the deity of Christ at that time. And throughout the Gospels, they doubted his deity. You remember the time when Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am? This same group took up stones to kill him. The same group of people. And I don't know if it was the same one, but the same titles. The same ones, the scribes and the Pharisees. There are many like that today. Many people like that today. They give Jesus credit for being a good man. They give him, they allow him to be known as a good teacher. They talk about his wonderful philosophies of life. They speak of him as like one of the prophets, but they do not accept the deity of Christ, even today. They refuse. All of these here wise men, this is amazing here, all of these wise men reverted to Scripture to tell Herod where the location would be. Now understand something, Jerusalem to Bethlehem was only about 5 miles. What a long ways. I mean, it was just Jerusalem here, Bethlehem's right outside the gate, just right down the hill, down somewhere, 5 miles I need to ask somebody this after church, if y'all know, tell me, what's the difference between a normal mile and a nautical mile? After church, not now, I don't need to answer now, but I was looking up the measurements of, you know, I asked Google how far Jerusalem was from Bethlehem, and Google said something in meters, and then gave me 5 miles. So I was glad in meters. I wasn't glad for meters, but it gave me the miles, and then it said nautical miles. So y'all help me with that after church, if you would. So they arrive in Jerusalem. These here wise men know scripture, know of Bible. They go to Bible to give the answer to Herod. That says there, thus it is written by the prophet. So they knew the location. Not only did they know the location, they also knew scripture. Isn't that amazing? These same folks knew scripture. They immediately went to the Bible for the answer for Herod. To see how acquainted they are, go back and look at Micah chapter 5 verse 2 on your own. Micah chapter 5 verse number 2 tells the same exact portion. You remember a couple of weeks ago we looked at Micah chapter 5 verse 2. And they went straight to it. I mean, if you had not sit and studied and learned scripture, and you know you had no knowledge of scripture, if somebody was to ask you just off the bat, just say, hey, can you tell me where the Ten Commandments are located? They were able to tell a small portion of scripture immediately, so they knew scripture, they found the biblical answer, but had no idea how to apply it. They knew where the scripture was. They knew it was there, but they could not see the fact that God was moving at this point in their life. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You can know a great deal about the Bible and still be lost. You can know a great deal of scripture and still not know the Savior as your personal Lord and Savior. This is the wise man we're talking about. This is your group. You understand something? The scribes and these priests, they handled the law. They copied down the Word of God. They knew Scripture, but did not know the Savior. Did not know the Savior. You cannot be saved by just knowing the Christmas story, dear friend. I enjoy the Christmas story. I really enjoy this time of year. I told you, this is probably the most wonderful time of year. For me, I really enjoy it. People are a little more sensitive. They're a little bit more tender and kind. After Black Friday, they're kind. Before Black Friday, I'm telling you, they've got their newspapers out and they'll charge you down. But after Black Friday, they get all their bruises healed up. They're generally pretty calm, pretty kind, pretty sensible. They'll let you say Merry Christmas, God bless you. They won't, you know, give you a long lecture. You know, why you need to leave them alone, not bother them. So it's a wonderful time of the year because Jesus Christ is the center of everything that goes on. Now, He should be the center of our everyday life. He should be the very center of our being. We should breathe and live and drink and sleep and enjoy Christ day by day, hour by hour, just like we do at Christmas time. I mean, this is a wonderful time. But just because you know the Christmas story, dear friend, they know the Christmas story. In Bethlehem, He would be born. But did not go and see the Savior. So they knew the location, but didn't believe the Lord had come yet. If they had had an inkling of a belief, just an ounce, just a little bit, I believe they'd have went down to Bethlehem, made an investigation. But they went to Herod. They told Herod what the Bible says. They explained to Herod what Scripture says. They found the biblical answer there. And they knew that not only would the location, not only did they know the Scripture, they knew Christ would rule. They even said it right there in the verses. For this is written in the Scripture, verse 6, "And thou, Bethlehem, land of Judah, and not least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." They knew He'd be a ruler. They understood that. They understood what the Bible was saying. A governor that shall rule my people. They The plan of God was unfolding right swiftly in front of their eyes, and they missed it. Think about all the folks who say they are Christians simply because their family had a Christian heritage or a Christian history. I think about folks who spend time in church year after year, week by week, and they never had a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I know folks that read the Word of God and not know Christ. I know people that give and not know Christ. And I know folks that give of themselves and not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Do you have an example? Well, one example is in the Bible itself, in the book of Acts, Cornelius. The Bible says he was a man that feared God, fasted, gave alms to the people, but did not know Christ. God had sent Peter by his way, and Peter began to show him the things of God. And as Peter unfolded in him the things of God, he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, his personal Lord Savior. See, there's a problem with just being wise up here and not wise to salvation in the heart. For with the heart man believeth unto salvation. It was a time of thrilling prophetic fulfillment going on right here during this Christmas time in these stores. I mean, the angels speaking, the taxation, the moving of everything, the birth in Bethlehem, the wise men arising out of the east. You know, listen, these people knew each other. I mean, it was like the wise men knew who was wise in each kingdom. When Bathsheba traveled, to come to hear the things of Solomon, when she left, she said it was more than I could ever imagine. Bathsheba, not sure, Queen of Sheba. Sorry, Bathsheba was David's other problem there. That was a bigger problem over there. Sorry about that. The Queen of Sheba, she knew, had heard how wise, but she wanted to talk and see and for herself. So they knew these. When these wise men showed up, dear friend, when they from Jerusalem, when they came there, that alone should have stirred something up inside of these what? Priests. These was the people who handled the things of God. These were the very people that spent time in the temple, in the synagogue. These were the very people that handled the altar and the sacrifices and things of that nature. The scribes. The scribes were the ones that copied down Scripture. And they copied and they copied. And they wrote copies after copies. These people should have been moved to not say to Herod, only does the Bible say this, but Herod, why don't we go see? Why don't we go down here? Many, dear friend, see God working in other people's lives and will not move when the Holy Spirit is drawn. I mean, what more can God do to bring a time into their life? They've handled Scripture. They've handled things. They've offered sacrifices for the sins of the nation of Israel. And the Lamb of God was being born 5 miles down the road. And these wise men show up. It's amazing. These wise men quoted Bible, but never once acted upon its message. That's where we're at in our day and age, dear friend. We've got Christians that can quote Bible, but will not follow in obedience. The plain, simple Scripture. Wise men that did not see the Savior. Not the wise men who brought the gift, but the wise men who offered counsel. But they did these... I'm not sure why. Maybe they feared they would lose their job. They did work for Herod. Herod wanted to hear the right things. Who were the wise men coming to see? Well, let's say there. Verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Verse 3. When Herod the king... And there's a conflict there, sir. You have a king sitting on the throne, and wise men coming from the east, and they're saying, we're come to see the king, the one that's born king of the Jews. Maybe they feared their job. Maybe they said, well, you know, if we go along with this, I'm not sure what the reasoning was, but for some reason or another, they were not convinced of the fact that Christ was born. Maybe they'd quickly fallen back into their old routines. Maybe after the wise men left, you remember they left, and Herod called them private and said, listen, when you go down there, you find him, bring me word again so I can come worship. We know that wasn't his plan at all because we've read the rest of the scripture. He was only looking for spies. Somebody could get in there and get him information. Perhaps that man in the back of their mind, can you imagine? I can't imagine. I don't know how many it was. It says here, scribes and Pharisees. It's more than one. There's more than one priest, more than one scribe. So you have at least four. Matter of fact, it said all the chief priests. There's quite a few people here. Perhaps after the conversation, when it was all gone, those wise men had gone away. Maybe one of them, maybe two, went back and got the scroll. Begin to look. Begin to think about it. Begin to ponder. Begin to meditate. So, you know, so many years ago there was prophecy of a virgin birth. Maybe, you know, surely we're wasting our time right now. And they went right back to their old routine. Have you ever been stirred by the Word of God in a message? You come to the altar, you're convicted, you gave really thoughtful, insight prayer at the altar or in your prayer closet, maybe at home, and the next day you find yourself back in the old routine. Maybe that's what happened. I'm just giving some scenarios here. I'm not sure. Maybe they fear the job. Maybe they just fell back in that old rut. You know how it is. You reach up, you're coming out of that rut, and before you know it, the ground gives way, and you slide right back down. Right back to the old routine. Maybe, just maybe, they thought the risk too great if they started a rumor that was not true. Maybe they said, well, if we say, you know, he's risen, you know, I mean, he's not risen, he's born. Maybe he's there, and they went along with these wise men. Maybe they thought the risk was just too much. Sometimes we're that way, right? The Lord prompts us to talk to somebody about salvation. And we weigh the risk. Will I lose friendship? Will they get angry at me? Will they accept it? And we weigh the risk. And keeping silent, we come to reckon within ourselves that the risk is too great. So we. Yet the Bible says that if the watchman doesn't cry out, the blood's on his hands. The watchman. I'm not sure, but dear friend, there's some reason or another that caused these group of men to not go see the Savior. Wise men risk all to seek and to find the Savior. Can you imagine the wise men that came from the east? They came, they traveled. Scripture's plain here that it's a minimum of a 2-year trip. Through deserts, through bandits, on camels, coming a long way, thieves. Can you imagine you stop in a town and you're sitting there and you got your camp set up and you get some food, get some supplies, and there's some of those bandits sitting off on there, and they watch you pull out that money bag and they watch you pay for some supplies to get you on down to the next town? Man, that's easy pickings right there. Some wise men on some camels. Got a few guards with them maybe. We can take them by night. Where were they going? To see a babe. They risk it all to see the Savior. Here are wise men sitting 5 miles from where he's born. and will not move to go see the Savior.
Amen.
Isn't it amazing? May I ask you today, I didn't come to spend a long time. I know y'all have had a hard, long day. But are we walking around in godly wisdom or earthly, carnal wisdom? This is a perfect picture. Perfect picture. Now think about this with me, and we're closing. These scribes and these Pharisees and Jews, these other wise men, they were what would be called Gentile. They'd be outside of the fold of Israel, and yet they come looking for the king. Isn't that amazing? It never, ever, ever, ever should be said that God's people give up less than the lost people in the way they live. Listen, lost folks shouldn't live more moral than Christians. These things ought not to be so. A person that knows not God as their personal Lord and Savior should not have more morality than you if you have the Holy Ghost of God living inside of you. It's that simple. These folks lived religion but had no relationship. And they refused to go see the Savior. May I ask you something today? Do you have a relationship with Christ? Or are you just a religious wise person? Father, we love you. We thank you for this night. Thank you for Christmas. We thank you, Lord, that you gave your only begotten Son to die on the cross of Calvary. Lord, that he took upon us, upon him, our sin debt. He suffered in shame on our behalf. He had you turn his back upon him for us. So that you could be pleased with the sacrifice. And that we could enjoy eternal life. God, may we have a clear understanding of what it is when it says, Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you for that unspeakable gift. Thank you for a life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Merry Christmas. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Choir, please come quickly to see Brother Jim so he can get y'all to singing the singers. You're dismissed.